Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles and New Testaments to Matthew chapter 4. What's that? Oh, well, we'll be glad to have that shared right now.
Said Vince Estrada's sister, Nicole, is doing much better. She has chemo coming up this month, which she is not looking forward to, but we know the Estradas know God is going to be with her through it.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. All right, is there anybody else has a word of testimony? I feel like you got left out. Don't want anybody left out. All right, well, in that case, we'll turn then to Matthew chapter 5. And we want to begin reading at verse 14. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, you will see that this is in red letters. This is because it is Jesus speaking. And he said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Well, that's our instruction, and that is to let our light shine. You know, he gave these illustrations. I couldn't bring a city set on a hill, but I could bring a lamp. There you go. You know, I can see better here now, too. All right. We need to let our lamp shine. Now, you know, Jesus gave to us a charge. And we want to look at three aspects of this instruction, part of our discipleship. And the first is the charge we find in verse 14, that we are to be light of the world. Now, the rabbis at that time, according to biblical scholars, were called light of the world. So they were teachers going around teaching the Bible, the Old Testament, and providing the light of instruction and help to people. And so it was not that uncommon for rabbis to be called the light of the world. Now they were trained and they were commissioned. And then we find that Jesus calls himself the light of the world. And that is not all that awfully unusual. Or once we recognize that people considered him to be a rabbi. So he could be a rabbi, he could be the light of the world. But you know, that's not what he had in mind. And we find in John chapter 8 that he said again to them saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." That's an amazing claim. That's more than the claims of the rabbis who'd say, well, we're providing the light from the Word of God, which at that time would be the Old Testament, and say, we're giving you this teaching, we're giving you this instruction. Jesus said, "I am the light, and the one who follows me will not walk in darkness." Amazing claim. But then here's something. It was passed to us. You are the light of the world. We become a part of shedding that light. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14 and through verse 16, we find this: "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." This is the only place, other place in the Bible outside of the Gospels, where we are called the light of the world. But the Apostle Paul says that, "But you are lights in the world, shining in the world." It's interesting, the light, the word for light here is a different form of the same root. In Matthew, it's referring to the light directly, and here it is the luminaries, those which are shining, that carry that light. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus in us helps us to be the light of the world. So you are the light of the world. Well, What are the characteristics? We've seen the charge, but what are the characteristics of light? And we see that he's given us these two illustrations, a light on a lampstand. Now, they didn't have this kind of light because they hadn't invented batteries yet. Well, there's some other reasons too, but they had candles, or they may have had oil lamps, those kinds of things. They said, it's ridiculous for you to light your lamp and then hide it under a bushel. I don't have a bushel, but I've got a pulpit. Because now that light is not doing anybody any good. Why do we light a light anyway? Well, we light it so it can be seen. Of course, it should be visible. And then when he refers to the city built on a hill, same characteristic. It becomes visible. And people can see that city from some distance because it's built up in the air, built on a hill. But you know, that's not the only characteristics. It also is recognizable. So in other words, when you see a light shining, you recognize what it is. It's light. When you see a city on a hill, you can recognize it from a distance. That's a city, place where I'm planning on going. When we were pastoring out in northern Iowa, it was always fascinating to me how far you could see lights. Now, one of the things about northern Iowa is it is flat. Now, when I say flat, I mean flat. We could see stadium lights from 20 miles away. At night, I would have been out calling or doing something, and I'm returning home. And rather than take the main roads, sometimes it was quicker to go on some of the back roads and follow those. And I always found it interesting because it would always look like you were coming to something. But you never were. There was all these lights you could see. But actually, they were farm lights. All those farm lights all the way down the road. But you could see them from such a distance. And then you'd go by one and go by another and go through driving down these roads where the farm ground and so on, because you could see it so far away. Did you know that you can see light easier when it's dark? Isn't that profound? Okay, now you can see this one. It's shining bright. But if the sun were shining, and we took the roof off the building and that kind of thing, then it would seem like this wasn't so bright. It seemed like that it was pretty dim. But we'd still recognize it as light. Now, Jesus is using this illustration about us. You are lights of the world. So what does this mean? It means you should be visible. The Lord has not called us to hide. I appreciated the message in Sunday school this morning. That truth, that we haven't been called to just go off by ourselves and hide. Called to move into the world. You are the light of the world, not the light of the monastery, the light of the world. And so as we move into the world, we are visible. We are visibly Christians, visibly disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're supposed to be recognizable. People should recognize that we are living for Jesus. And then there's a third characteristic. And that is defensible. A city that's built on a hill. One of the reasons they built it on the hill was not just so that it could be seen from a distance away, but also so it could be more easily defended. Because if you're up in the air, it is much easier to shoot down than it is to shoot up when you're using arrows and stuff like that. And then people have to charge the hill, means they have to go uphill in order to invade the city. Have you ever noticed that it takes more energy going uphill than it does going downhill? And so there would be more energy expended. People would be tired. And so again, they would be able to see further so that they could protect themselves from that which would be coming. It is a defensible situation. But not only that, it is helpful. And that's one of the things we see. The city put on a hill like that is in a position to assist. people traveling through can see it. It serves as landmarks along the way so they know how where they're going and how to get there. If those things were hidden, they'd not be able to find their way, many cases. Same with light. Light helps us see, which defends us in a way. So if we don't have light, for example, in the middle of the night, well, I should just ask, how many of you have a night light somewhere in your house so if you get up in the middle of the night, you can see? All right, raise your hand. We've got them too. Yeah. Okay. We learned that a long time ago. It's important to have those kind of lights so you do not step on Legos in the middle of the night making your way through. That's very painful. And thank you. Legos are wonderful things, but it's important they get picked up. that kind of thing. Well, light helps us to see where we're going and how to get there. And so important. And, of course, light is so useful in so many different ways. If we were to go back to the time where there was no electric lights, we'd be in a whole different situation. The advantage of having lights as we have it allows us so many different things that we are able to do. For example, the other day, my wife asked me to fix her glasses by screwing one of those screws back in the glasses. All right, those of you who have glasses, you know how small those screws are. Okay, so I've got the screwdriver, I've got the glasses. Just one problem. I can't see. So what do? I go get a bright light and shine it on that so I can see in order to be able to tighten that screw. Light is tremendously helpful to us, and we are supposed to be that in our communities. Not hidden. Not off someplace, not being a part. Nope, we are to be a part, involved in our communities. And you know, then he gives this command in verse 16. Let your light so shine before people, before men. In other words, don't hide, and your light shine. Now, some people have said, well, that's plural, which it is. Okay, your light, so they're saying, well, that's the work of the church. The church should shine its light in our world. Well, personally, I think this is one of those cases where it is a both-and situation, that Jesus is speaking to them as a group of disciples and as a group of people who have come to hear him on the mountainside, and he's saying to them, you are the lights of the world, but you should let your light so shine, you individually, but as a group, your light. And so I don't think it's an escape for us to say, somehow an excuse for us to say, well, you know, that's the work of the church and not the work of me individually. No, I believe it's the work of every one of us individually. We are to be lights in the world, but so is the church. And the church should also have this kind of impact as well. Where? He says, before men, before people, we are to have this impact and this influence, that people may see it. That means the world. That means wherever we are in the world. Again, we have noticed that the light seems brighter when it is darker. Now, we'd all like to have a better situation in our world. And it can seem like darkness is coming in many different ways. But you know what that means? That means your light should be more visible and brighter in the darkness. People can be able to see it, recognizable, and we can shine brighter. It doesn't necessarily mean that we are brighter, but the darkness is causing it to look like that as we live for our Lord Jesus Christ in this world. But you know, here's an interesting thing he says. So let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and then glorify your Father in heaven. The Christian life, the life of the disciple, should result in good works, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. In the middle of the sentence, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and the Holy Spirit with power, with the Holy Spirit with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus went about doing good. That's one of the early Bible verses we teach small children. Jesus went about doing good. Well, that's what he did. He did good works. Then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So that is certainly a part of our Christian life. Our discipled life is doing good works. 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we are not involved in making a difference in the places where we live, the place where we work, the community that we live in, the families that we are a part of, if we are not making a difference for good, then we're not really being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but preacher, we're not saved by good works. Oh, I know that. Ephesians tells us that. That's not how we're saved. That's what happens when we're saved. We become lights in our world and the demonstration of good works. The story is told Dr. Howard Kelly. He was a distinguished physician. He was one of the four founding doctors of Johns Hopkins University Hospital, the first medical research university in the United States, and even now arguably one of the finest hospitals anywhere. But he's the one who established the Department of Gynecology and Obstetrics at that school, founding of that school. And over the course of his career, he advanced the sciences of gynecology and surgery, both as a teacher and as a practitioner. In the story of his life, a story is told about when he was on a walking trip, much younger, and he got thirsty. And so he stopped at a small farmhouse and asked for some water. And then the little girl who answered the door, instead of bringing him water, brought him a glass of fresh milk. And they had a short, friendly visit. He found out who she was and her name and so on, and then he went on his way. It was a number of years later when that same girl ended up at Johns Hopkins for surgery with him, Dr. Howard Kelly. Just before she, after she had the surgery and recovered, just before she left the hospital, went to find out about her bill. And on the face of her bill was written in his handwriting, paid in full with one glass of milk. Now, people have taken that story and they've done a bunch of different things with it and so on. He was a devout Christian whose faith was as natural to him as breathing. And so you can say, well, that's just a really extraordinary thing. What's really extraordinary to me is that he remembered, because she would have grown up, and remember the name and remember the situation. But actually, what they found out in checking was that that was fairly common, not that he would remember the glass of milk and that kind of thing, but that he wrote off the bills of many patients who could not pay. In fact, when they went back to check, they found out that basically in 75% of his cases that came to see him ended up being free of charge. Why? Because he was committed to serving Jesus Christ with a life of good works. In his case, he could use his skills as a doctor and as a surgeon and helping those things to make a difference in people's lives. Well, we're not necessarily doctors or that kind of thing, but God has given you talents that we can use to do good for the people that we come in contact with as well. Why do we do all that? Bible, Jesus told us, for the glory of our Father in heaven. It's not so that we can brag about ourselves or get glory for ourselves, but so that we can tell them about the Jesus who changed our lives. When the light shines, it's obvious. People notice. If you have to tell people that the light is shining, something's wrong with the light. If we have to tell people that we're doing something for Jesus, the light's not shining very bright. We don't have to do things in a big public way. Even with individuals, they should be able to tell that our lives, because of Jesus, are being lived out to make a difference in our world, our part of the world, with the glory going to our Heavenly Father. You know, as I was thinking about this and what Jesus had said, the goal being to glorify the Father, how can we apply these ideas in a practical way? Okay? And so I was thinking about some things we could do. First of all, we could thank someone who has helped us for their good works. We all enjoy being appreciated. Isn't that right? Nod your heads. We all enjoy being appreciated. Sure do. All right. Then I know that we're not doing what we're doing so that people will come and pat us on the back and those kinds of things. But wouldn't it be kind of nice? So why don't we take the initiative and thank someone who has benefited our life? And let them know that we appreciate it and glorify God for them. Thank the Lord for them. Here's the second thing that we could do, and that is even this week, we could pray for someone who is trying to let their light shine. That's one another right here in the church, right? Okay, and maybe we know about a particular situation. Maybe it's a difficult situation that someone is in and they're trying to let their light shine for Jesus. Well, why couldn't we decide this week that we pray for them? It may be that the Lord leads you to somebody and you're not sure exactly what they're doing or what their situation may be. But we can pray that God will help them to let their light shine. This is an important time of the year, as Passion Week, as we've already noted. Wouldn't it be a great thing if people would see Jesus in us this week? Now, before we go any further, you don't have to write this on your hand or anything, but ask the Lord right now, who could you pray for this week? Say, okay, I'm going to do that. You know what else we can do? We could come alongside someone and ask them how we could help them let their light shine. That might be a little more challenging, but again, God can help us to do that. Say, we'd like to help you let your light shine, whatever the situation is, whatever it may be. And fourth, ask God, help us let our light shine. Will you stand with me? Well, Jesus, you have changed our lives, and we are so thankful for it. But you didn't change our lives just so that we'd have an easier life. In fact, what you said is that we are to let our light shine before men so that they can see the good works and then glorify our Father in heaven. Well, Lord, as we head into this week. I want to ask you to help us to shine for you in good works. Maybe those are simple things. Maybe there's some special way. But Lord, would you direct us? And then, Lord, it may be that one of those good works could be assisting somebody else who is seeking to let their light shine. Then we could come alongside and we could say, I'm here to help. How can I help you? And so, Lord, if that's the case, then I pray that you would impress it upon us. We're a part of the church, and the church together helping one another to live out the Jesus life. But all of us, Lord, can choose to pray for someone who is seeking to let their light shine. And pray and ask you, Lord, to assist them, give them wisdom, give them guidance, give them success in letting their light shine. And then, Lord, is there somebody we could thank? Thank for their good works, that you may be glorified. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts right now, that right now among us we'd be making some decisions for this week as we apply this in our lives, that we may be your disciples as we head into this time where people will know about Easter. But do they know the message, what it really means? So, Lord, may they see our light shining this week for the glory of God and in the name of Jesus. Amen.